you take your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul's been dealing with divisions in the church, and a lot of those divisions are being caused by the people saying that they were following certain preachers. Some followed Paul, some followed Apollos, and some followed Peter. And Paul has been trying to explain to the Corinthian believers that, you know, divisions like that are based on human wisdom. And of course, last week, our message theme basically was for the preaching of the cross. To them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And again, today he's going to continue in chapter 2 to show us that human wisdom and divine wisdom are two different things. Before we continue, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this time that you've given to us that we can look into your word. And Father, again, as we study Corinthians, I just pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds, help us to be able to comprehend what your word is telling us, help us to be able to understand who you are and who we are in Christ, and how to be able to take your word and to apply it to our lives. Help us to be able to discern the difference between human wisdom, the wisdom of this world, and divine wisdom, which is the wisdom given to us through Christ. And again, I pray that as I preach this message, you would just help me to do so in a way that is understandable. And I just ask that the Holy Spirit would just bless this message today. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read the first five verses, then we're going to break those down a little bit. 1 Corinthians 2:1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So first Paul tells us that as far as his preaching's concerned, and when he came to them, he said he came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom. So here, what we're seeing is that Paul was convinced that the gospel, in other words, God's word, was God's power to save, and he resisted the idea that somehow he could, by his own ingenuity, make the message more acceptable to those that were listening. So he resisted the idea that the reception, in other words, his preaching, would somehow be dependent on how he delivered it, rather than dependent on God's word itself. So that somehow he had to make it sound exciting or entertaining or rewarding to get people to believe. In other words, dance and whatever you want to do, and isn't that entertaining? And so just to be able to get their attention. And he didn't believe that. It came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom. And from my understanding, and Paul was really not, he really was not a great speaker. In other words, he wasn't like Apollos. He wasn't like somebody that you'd come out and you could listen to him and they, you know, he was more like me, where he ahams and ooh-hums and probably, you know, clears his throat a few times. So he wasn't fluent all the time. He wasn't that great of a speaker, but yet he preached the gospel and people were saved. And he's trying to help us to understand it wasn't because it was dependent on him or his abilities or his skills. The whole power was in the word of God. So he says, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So the word of God is the testimony of God. And we like to think that the word of God is a revelation that's all about us. It's about me, and it's about you, and it's about man. But the scriptures is not a revelation about us. It's not. It has nothing to do with us other than what God tells us that has to do with us. So the scriptures are all about God. It tells us God in the beginning, and it shows us God in the end. So scriptures are all about him. It's God's testimony of who he is to us so we can understand and know him. So without it, we would not know God, and we wouldn't know that we were created in his image and his likeness. In other words, without the word of God, we would be lost and condemned without ever really knowing why. So if God hadn't revealed himself to us, we would all die, end up in hell, and we wouldn't know why am I here? But God has revealed to us who God is and that we are fallen. So the divine authority, in other words, behind the preacher's message is the word of God. Okay? It is what God reveals about himself in this book. Okay, any message that does not revolve around or include God's word is nothing more but a watered-down version of a man's interpretation of who he thinks God is. Have you ever gone to a church service before and they talk about the birds and the bees and how beautiful the trees are and God's creation, and they talk about everything, but you never hear anything about the word of God? They make everything sound so rosy. All that is somebody's interpretation of who they think God is. He's such a wonderful God. He's so loving. But if it doesn't revolve around God's word, then it's just man's interpretation of God. So human wisdom, he's telling us, and eloquence of speaking cannot improve or add to the message. See, the power is in the message, and it's not in the one who delivers it. In other words, I could stutter through my whole message, and as long as I'm reading the word of God, it won't matter, because the power is not in me, in my preaching and speaking. It's in the word of God, which I am preaching. So it doesn't matter. So you could take a person who stutters and doesn't deliver it very well, or he could be the most boring person in the world, and if you're paying attention, God will speak to you through that person. And this is what Paul wants you to understand. He said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So every word of the New Testament, have you ever noticed that when you open up the New Testament? Every word of the New Testament finds its source of power in the crucifixion of Christ. In other words, it's through Christ's death that God saves. It's through his death that God both empowers and teaches those who are saved how to live in every area of their life. Okay? Paul knew only the word of God can save and change the lives of those who hear the message, okay? Every word of the Old Testament, as you read it, and every word of the New Testament revolves around the crucifixion of Christ. Without the crucifixion, nothing in the Old Testament and nothing in the New Testament would make sense. So everything centers around the cross of Christ. If Jesus had not gone to that cross, if he had not died for our sins, then he was resurrected for our justification, but if he hadn't died, how would our sins be forgiven today, right? It wasn't his resurrection that saved us from our sins, it was his death. So everything revolves around that cross. So if he hadn't died, there would be no forgiveness for sins. And this is what he wants us to understand. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I had mentioned this in the beginning, how, you know, everywhere he went, there was just, you know, he was stoned and thrown out for dead in one city. He was thrown in jail. He was humiliated. I mean, he had confrontations wherever he went. And so he says, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. In other words, you know, in himself, Paul was afraid. You know, by the time he got to Corinth, he was like, he says, I'm trembling. And the reason why, he was afraid of how those who listened would react to the gospel message. Did you ever witness to somebody or think about witness to somebody, but you weren't quite sure how they were going to react? You're a little bit nervous. So he was also overwhelmed by the enormity of the task that God had given him. God gave him a huge task here to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And he was anxious over his ability to fulfill the task. He knew he wasn't that great of a speaker. He knew from a human perspective he would probably be the last one that you'd invite to your church to be able to preach, because he just wasn't as eloquent as some of the other preachers. So he felt completely inadequate here. If those who listened were saved by his message, it would be totally dependent on hearing the gospel and certainly not on his ability or his confidence in delivering the message. He was not a confident person at this time. He was one of those guys, did you ever have to speak in front of somebody and, you know, you get up there and your hands are shaking and your knees are wobbling and your voice, you can hear the nervousness in your voice when you speak. Well, that's the way he felt. And that's the way most of us feel when we're put on the spot and we have to speak in front of people. This is the way he felt. He was nervous. He didn't have confidence in himself. He was scared. And it says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. In other words, not with eloquence or philosophy. Okay? Not with enticing words. Paul did not try to present the message that could be understood on a human level of intelligence or some philosophical level which made sense to man. The message of God must be understood on a spiritual level. We can try to communicate God's word on a human level and it will make absolutely no sense to them, because the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them. It has to be done on a spiritual level. Man's mind has been darkened and enslaved, and it's incapable of understanding the gospel apart from the power of God. The only way that you understood the gospel, the only way that you came to know Christ, was because the Holy Spirit, the power of God, worked in you and illuminated God's word. It wasn't because of human wisdom. Paul knew that those who heard the gospel and received salvation did so entirely by the power of God. It's his work. Paul's responsibility was to preach. It was the Holy Spirit's responsibility to determine how that person reacted to what was being preached. His ingenuity in trying to present the gospel on a human level of understanding could save no one. I don't care how wise you are or how good you can make things sound from a human level, it will not save people, because you can't save people. He knew that you would either understand the gospel message or you wouldn't. So when you witness to somebody, they're either going to understand it or they're not, and that understanding is going to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, not on us.
Can you explain that to me quickly? The gospel message, please.
I can't.
No,
because it's too much to enter. Everybody be here all day. Okay? The gospel message is preaching that Christ crucified. Right here is the gospel message. Read the New Testament. Yeah, all of this is, and how to live, okay? As far as I'll go. So his own ingenuity in trying to present the gospel, again, on a human level, couldn't save anybody. So either you understood the message or not, but salvation came from believing what the gospel message says and not by one's own comprehension. So Jesus died for our sins. We are sinners. Jesus was resurrected, and he sits at the right hand of God, and because of his death and resurrection, God can now forgive us for our sins. So it's a simple message, and it has to be understood by faith, okay, and not by sight. See, faith is taking God at his word. Is the Bible true? I believe every word in the Bible is true, and I believe it by faith, because I believe that it's God's word, and I believe it's true. So sight is dependent on human wisdom and understanding that will not take God at his word. So if you want human wisdom, well, human wisdom will not take God at his word. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, faith produced by the power of the Holy Spirit cannot be overthrown. So if you come to know Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit and you really have Christ as your Savior, it will not be overthrown, can't be taken away from you. Faith that comes through human wisdom can easily be picked apart. So if somehow you think you've come to Christ through a human level, well, through human wisdom, you'd be able to have that picked apart. But it can't be if it's the power of the Holy Spirit. See, by human wisdom, we cannot explain the reason for our faith. At a human level, I cannot explain to you why I believe what I believe. Okay? There's nothing I can use in this world to explain it. It cannot be explained on a human level of intelligence, understanding, or reasoning. That's why we can't reason people into being saved or give them the reasons why they should be saved. See, our faith comes by the power of the Holy Spirit and can only be explained on a spiritual level. So something the unbeliever is incapable of understanding, and yet at the same time, it's easily understood by others who have placed their faith in Christ. So when you come here in the morning and you understand the message that's being preached, it's because of the Holy Spirit's indwelling you, because you're spiritual. But if you come here and you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, it's because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. See, exalting one preacher over another reveals a complete understanding of what preaching is all about. See, preaching is not intended to glorify the preacher, one preacher over another, and it's not intended to glorify those who listen. So this message isn't to glorify me, and it's not to glorify you. Okay? Preaching is intended to glorify and exalt God. That's what it's for. It all centers around God. See, the frame of the mind of some of these Corinthian believers who were going to church was all wrong at this time. They were not going to church to worship God or to hear God's word. They were going to church to hear a man. See, they weren't going to listen to a message. They were going to listen to the man who was presenting the message. And there's a big difference. A lot of people are drawn to the church by the man who's preaching. And when that man leaves, guess what happens to the people that have been drawn to it? They leave too. Why? Because they were never focused on Christ. They were focused on the man. See, the church is looking for better methods to present the gospel in order to save more people, while God is simply looking for those who are willing to witness and share the gospel with others so he can save them. There's a big difference. Those who have the courage and the desire to point those who are willing to listen to Christ, that's all God wants. He wants people who will share the gospel. Witness to people wherever you are. And then leave everything up to him. He's not looking for the coffee and the cookies and everything else that we can do to draw people in. He wants you, first of all, to be obedient to him, to serve him, then just share the gospel. So the question is, you know, why do you come to church? Did you ever ask yourself that question? Why do you come to church? Is it just because the Bible tells you you have to? Is that the only reason that you come? You know, what's your reasoning or your motivation from being here this morning? What is the frame of mind when you come to church? How do you prepare yourself to come to church? What do you see church as? You know, are you excited about it? Are you you can gather together with others who worship God? Isn't it nice after being out in the world all week long to actually be with people who have like faith? Isn't that exciting? And to gather together to worship God. You know, do you see the message right now as God taking the opportunity to speak to your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, God has that something for every one of us in this message. Do you see that? Or do you come to church because, you know, well, you know, God tells me I'm supposed to come to church, and that's probably a good thing that I do. So I get up, I get around, I get my hour in, and I go home. And then I don't know if I really got anything out of the message. I really wasn't there to listen to the message. And you know, so what I do is, you know, I'm a believer, but all I'm doing right now is I'm going through the motions because, you know, I go to church because I'm supposed to. I listen to the message because I'm supposed to, and then I go home because, you know, that's what God requires of me. So the question is, would you be just as content to stay home if you thought it was okay with God? See, there is a difference in how we prepare ourselves for church. When you come through those doors, you're coming here to worship God. Yeah, fellowship is nice, but you're coming here to worship God, to exalt God. You're coming here because you believe that God is going to speak to you this morning, and He's going to speak to your heart. He's going to help you to grow. That's the attitude that we should have. Verse 6 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." So the wisdom here that he's talking about, we speak wisdom, is spiritual. It's not worldly. Spoken to those who are perfect, and this can also be translated complete. So it actually means in various applications of labor, growth, mental, and moral character. So the wisdom here that is being spoken is to those who are saved and being transformed into the image of Christ. So those that are perfect, none of us today will claim that we're perfect, will we? But we are perfect in the fact that Christ has justified us. So we are saved. So there is a wisdom that the Word of God, when the person that is spiritual hears it, it's wisdom to them. They understand it. They can apply it to their lives. See, it's not the wisdom of the world which relies on the wisdom of relying on the wisdom of those who are in power today. You know, a lot of our leaders think they're very wise today. And it's not dependent on those who have influence over the things of this world. There are a lot of people that think they have a lot of influence over it. So it's not wisdom dependent on the world, the people in power, or the people that have the influence around us. And what Paul says, all these come to naught. See, the wisdom of this world, it changes. Those who are in power, they're there a little while, they're gone. Those who are influential, they change in every generation. So they're not here all the time. So in other words, the wisdom of this world is constantly changing and reinventing itself. And we can see that in society, can't we? Isn't society constantly changing and reinventing itself and saying what's good and what's not good? Always constantly changing. Verse 7 says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So the wisdom of God here in a mystery, a hidden wisdom. Boy, this sounds deep. I wonder how we can discover it. See, but it's not a mystery or a wisdom that cannot be known. In other words, it's just hidden, and it cannot be known unless those who are familiar with this mystery or this hidden wisdom is willing to reveal it to others. It's a mystery or hidden wisdom that God has revealed to man through His Word. So the mystery and the hidden wisdom is right here in front of us. And for those who are willing to listen, they are capable of obtaining this. So it's a mystery that we know. It's hidden wisdom that we know, but it's still hidden away from the world. So it's not a mystery to those that are saved. but it remains a mystery to those who are not, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So this mystery or hidden wisdom was actually planned before the world began. It was there, the mystery, the hidden wisdom. And we cannot even begin to comprehend, at least I can't, maybe you can, how God knew even before he created man that he would need a savior, but he did. Before he even created anything, he knew this beyond my understanding. But that's the mystery. That's the hidden wisdom here, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So this mystery or this wisdom, it says, was hidden from the Roman rulers and the Jewish religious leaders of Christ's day, those who crucified him. Paul is saying if they had really understood that Jesus was God, they would have never lifted a finger against him, but they were blinded to that. So, you know, did you ever, you know, and we hear it a lot, but maybe you've heard it, when someone says, "Where is your God? Show him to me. Prove that he exists, and I will believe." Well, have him come down. Show him to me. If I see it, I'll believe, right? But see, the truth is that even if God stood right in front of that person that's saying that, they wouldn't even be able to recognize him because they didn't recognize him. The Roman rulers didn't. The Jewish leaders didn't. And those who are not willing to place their faith in Christ, Christ could stand right before them, and they still would not recognize him. It has to be taken by faith, not by sight. And this is crucial for us to understand. See, how the gospel is the wisdom of God, and how the work of the Holy Spirit is essential for people to understand the gospel. I don't care who you are, you cannot convince people to come to Christ by use of your own wisdom and ability. We're so afraid sometimes. How can I share the gospel? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know, I don't know. What can I do to make the gospel more attractive and appealing to those that I'm trying to reach? How do we do that? Well, the answer is we can't. There's nothing you can do to make the gospel more attractive for anybody. I don't care. The power of salvation to those who hear is in the gospel message and not in the one who delivers it. That's good news. Are you nervous about sharing the gospel? Don't be. Just share it. And don't worry about the consequences because God's in control of that. You aren't going to save anybody. Your responsibility is to share it. See, we hesitate to share the gospel due to our failure in understanding the power of God's word. Somehow we've been convinced that there is no power in God's word. Okay? We've been you know, convinced that somehow human wisdom has convinced us that the power of salvation is somehow dependent on us. You know, we've been confused. Satan has, you know, boggled our minds somehow to think that somehow we're involved and it depends on me and how I deliver things and what I do, that whether people are going to be saved or not. Because what we've done is we've forgotten that the power of salvation to those who hear is in the gospel message, not in the one who delivers them. So it doesn't matter how we present it. It doesn't matter how we deliver it, because it's God's word. As long as it's God's word, that's where the power is. See, the world has made us afraid by convincing us that human wisdom trumps God's wisdom. We've been convinced that sight is more powerful than faith. That unless we can somehow make the gospel sound appealing to others, we will never be able to convince others that Christ is the answer to all their problems in life. Somehow we have to prove that. That's what we've been convinced. We are powerless because we do not believe that God's word is sufficient and powerful enough to save those we witness to. That's our problem. That's why we're weak, is we don't realize that the power is in God and not in us. If people are looking to understand the gospel through human wisdom, then they will never understand it. It can never be explained on that level. Human wisdom cannot comprehend the things of God. Human wisdom will never be able to make sense out of God's word. See, man's wisdom is based on science, technology, psychology, sociology, and then they take that and they try to interpret God's word based on their knowledge in those areas. And guess what? They fail to understand it because none of that has anything to do with understanding the gospel. Science doesn't have anything to do with it. Psychology doesn't have anything to do with it. Technology, sociology, anything. Has nothing to do with whether people are going to believe the gospel or not, because it's all the work of God. It's on a spiritual level. Verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So the human mind, which is darkened by sin, cannot understand what God has in store for those that love him. Okay? But for those who have placed their faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit has made it plain to them. They are aware of what God has in store. In other words, this isn't something where, it's a fantasy thing that, boy, we don't even know what God has in store for us. Well, yes, we do. Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, and for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." So it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." What has he revealed? Well, go back to the last verse. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. We already know. We may not know in full, but we know. See, the Holy Spirit, it says, is qualified to reveal the deep things of God, the true thoughts of God. His qualifications come from the fact that he has perfect knowledge of the mind of God. And the reason why is because the Holy Spirit is God, and there's absolutely nothing about God that is hidden from him. It's just the same way, what Paul is trying to say, just in the same way that we cannot know what others think unless they reveal it to us, we cannot know the mind of God unless he reveals it to us. Tell me what I'm thinking right now. Well, come on. You don't know, do you? And you will not know unless I reveal. And this is the way the word of God is. Unless God had revealed his word to us, we would have absolutely no idea what he was thinking. But the Holy Spirit, who is God and knows the mind of God, has revealed the mind of God to us. But what are the deep things of God? He reveals the deep things of God. What is this? Sounds pretty deep to me. It's got to be pretty complicated, right? Some believers see the deep things of God as being those things which are hard for them to understand. Are there things in the Bible that are hard to understand sometimes? Absolutely. I still have trouble sometimes understanding what God is trying to tell me in scriptures. In fact, somewhere it says, so-and-so said this, and it's really, Paul's preaching's hard to understand. So even for the apostles, sometimes what Paul was saying was hard to understand. So what is it? See, other people think that the gospel is simple. Well, it's just about Jesus dying and being resurrected. They think that's too simple for them. There's got to be something deeper than
the Word of God or what God's revealed to us right now. There's got to be something deeper. I've got to be able to get closer to God somehow. There's got to be some spiritual level that I'm missing here. So they begin to sink a deeper and a more profound spiritual experience that the Scriptures never intended them to do or to give. See, the gospel, the Word of God, as it has been given to us, okay, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him is both simple and deep. Okay? Everything that God has revealed about Himself is contained in His Word. It is through His Word that we actually begin to comprehend the deep things of God. And those deep things pertain to our salvation, our sanctification, and our justification. We're growing and learning. Okay? So how to grow, how to mature in both our faith, our knowledge, and our obedience. See, those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit have access to the deep things of God already through His Word, which He has revealed to all of us. No one, okay, has a corner on God's Word. No one can have a deeper understanding of God than somebody else, because God, the Holy Spirit, works and resides in all of us. Verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." We also speak. Paul's referring to Paul and the other apostles. What are they speaking? The words of God. See, the Holy Spirit revealed to the apostles the mind of Christ. The apostles knew what Christ's thoughts were, what His plans were, and what His purpose were, and they communicated Christ's mind to the rest of us. And how was that communicated to them? The Holy Spirit communicated to them. They wrote it down, and guess what? Can you know the mind of Christ today? Absolutely, right there it is. There's the mind of Christ, because they've written it right down for us. So we have the same advantage the apostles did. We can know the mind of Christ. See, we have the New Testament. It's what the apostles received by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What was revealed to them is now revealed to us. What they knew about the mind of Christ, we can know. And what is it? It is the deep things of God revealed to us. Verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So the natural man's discernment is limited to this world. It's only what they can see, touch, feel, smell, whatever. Okay, it's limited. He is dead spiritually, and apart from the Holy Spirit, he cannot understand the Word of God. And what he's saying is he can only make judgments based on the physical world that he lives in, a judgment which has been blinded and corrupted by sin. Verse 15 says, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." See, the spiritual man is the one who has responded to the gospel. And he's saved. He's now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit which makes them spiritual. Why are you spiritual? Why am I spiritual? Because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. That's why we're spiritual, because we have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, all believers are spiritual. The believer can discern now both the natural, which is what the man can see that's unspiritual, and also the spiritual. So what does this do for the believer, for the one who's saved? It gives the believer a different perspective in life, okay? He is able to make judgments because he is now he's been enabled by the Holy Spirit to actually see the world as it really is, okay? He can understand and judge the actions of the natural man, it says, but he himself cannot be judged. Okay, the natural man cannot, those that are unspiritual in the world today cannot judge you, because they don't have the ability to. But you can stand in judgment over the world, because you see it in a different light, because you are spiritual. So the natural man cannot judge the spiritual man because they lack spiritual understanding. They don't understand what the spiritual man gets at. What do you get out of going to church? What do you get out of singing praises to God? What do you get out of just standing there and listening to some preacher go on and on and on and preach messages? What do you get out of it? They don't understand. They can't comprehend. What in the world makes... Why don't you just stay home on Sundays and you know, get all the things that you didn't get the rest of the week done, or go out and have a good time, or go out and picnic? See, they can't comprehend it. See, they cannot understand why believers don't enjoy living and indulging in the same things they do. Why don't you enjoy the things I do? Why do believers, why don't they live by the same standards that we live by? Why don't you do the things I do? Okay? And what is your problem? Why are you saying that my lifestyle is immoral? Why are you saying that it's not right for a man to be married to a man, or a woman to be married to a woman, and you get into all this other stuff? Where do you even get off saying that stuff? I don't understand. See, they can't understand, they can't comprehend, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. So, my question, you know, right now is, what do you really believe? Do you really believe that God's Word is powerful? Are you willing to witness to others and just share the gospel to them, not being scared, not being afraid, knowing that, you know, the power of salvation is in God's Word? That's where the wisdom is. Or do you believe that, have you been convinced by the world that sight is more powerful than the Word of God? You know, everything we see around here, there's just no way nobody's going to believe it, because, you know, I can't prove it by sight. You know? But let me ask you a question. How did you come to know Christ? Did somebody convince you to be saved? Did somebody... you know, tell you how exciting life was? And I mean, you know, hey, look at that tree. I know God exists. Accept Jesus. See, that's proof right there. See all the green leaves and the branches falling off it? I doubt that any of you came here and received Christ as your Savior only through one way. Somebody shared the Word of God with you at one time. Somebody shared the gospel message with you. Somebody told you about how God created you in His image somehow. Somebody told you how you were fallen, all of us. Someone told us that we need, that's why Jesus came. He came to pay the penalty for our sins. And so what was it that brought you salvation? It was the Word of God. And if you're here today and say that you're saved and you weren't saved through the Word of God, then I'm sorry, I don't know if you're saved, because that's the only thing that has the power to save you. Do you even understand what brings salvation? Father, we just thank You for this time that we could look into Your Word. And Father, I just ask that You just be with us, because sometimes we do. We're like Paul. We're full of fear. We're full of trembling. And you know, sometimes we're scared to you know, share the gospel with others, to witness, because... we're afraid of how they're going to receive it. But also, Father, I think what holds us back is we won't acknowledge just how powerful Your Word really is. We don't understand that the power is in You, and it's not in us. We're just mere instruments in Your hand to just share the gospel with others. And help us to understand that, you know, give us the courage just to share the Word of God with people, and then just leave it to You as to whether that person receives it or not, because it is the power of the Holy Spirit to save them. And help us to comprehend this, and I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.